Hey, what's up? It's me, it's Craig X, the AKA the expert of expert joints, and I'm chilling here at the Cannabis Life Network studio with my good man, Damian Robertson. What's up, brother?
How's it going? Thanks
good,
for
man.
Having me.
Thank you. Damian is a Canadian military war veteran who did, you tell us, where and when did you do your service?
Well, I served with the 1st Battalion, Royal Canadian Regiment, Infantry Battalion. I was a corporal. And I served from 98 to 2003, and I did my tour in Kosovo.
Crazy. That was a rough time to be overseas in that part of the world.
I mean, like, yeah, it was before 9/11, so it was a lot less publicized. War wasn't as pumped up as it is on mm-hmm. everything. There's no social media, you know, there was not a lot to gauge by except for, you know, the media of the day kind of thing.
Sure.
But it was pretty rough. I mean, like, we didn't know what to expect over there, and you know,
pretty much all the worst things that you could probably think of were all there chilling waiting for you.
Definitely it's a culture. Like, I was 20 at the time,
right.
So I mean, like, very impressionable, yeah. And very gung-ho, very, very, you know, willing to serve my country, really willing to serve, you know, my unit and mm-hmm. be in the infantry. And you know, you hear about bad things going on to people over there, and you're asked to go, and you know, they're asking us to go, let's do it. So yeah. You do it, and yeah, You are trained a certain way to deal with that.
Conditioned very particularly.
It's very artificial to the civilian environment, for
right.
sure. That's why there's a lot of coping problems
sure.
with people leaving, but yes.
Yeah, I mean, a whole different way of life, really, when you look at it. I mean, the military...
Different culture.
Civilian life, completely different culture, and whether you are operating on the other side of the world in a different culture, whether you're in your own backyard, working under a whole different set of conditions, it certainly, outside of what would be the majority of people's standard operating conditions, not everybody has to look at the possibility of getting blown up, let alone by somebody you don't know for something you don't really necessarily understand, but you're kind of just doing what you're told at times, right? And that's got to be a little difficult to take as well.
Well, and that's part of the training. It's mm-hmm. like, you don't really need to know the whole picture. You just need to know that you're justified in your actions, and you know, you're taking care of the guy next to you, because I mean, like, it's bigger than you at that point. At that
right.
point, you're not worried about the politics. You're worried about, all right,
this
am
guy
I going to survive? I'm going to yeah. make sure I'm doing my job, so my best friends, the people who matter most in my life, are taken fucking care of.
Right.
I don't care about the big picture. You
yeah.
worry about that when you get back.
Yeah.
You know,
sure.
in the moment, it's like, hey, you're being deployed. You know, this is your, you know, notice to get ready, get all your kit together.
And
you're
going to
have
this
training, you know, we're all training. We're going to weed out the weak, and the strong are going to go. Bam, and you have this time frame and to sort it out. And, you know, it works up to the training, and it's a lot of conditioning.
Yep.
You know, you need to know what you're doing. You're
physical
not just
going to
go
mental.
In there blind.
Sure.
You're not going in there. Everything we do is precision. You know, we don't want to hurt people. We want to
just... Or get hurt.
Straight up, you know?
Primarily, that one probably first. We don't
yeah.
want to get hurt or hurt anyone else.
Yeah, well, I mean, like, you go in and you start fucking with people's country and they get resentful, you know? So,
hey.
If you're going in to help people, for the most part, like, we went in with NATO, so it wasn't peacekeeping, but
yeah.
it was a stabilization force to keep it from tearing itself apart.
Right, right.
You know, so...
Unfortunate, the way that... politics go down and that the need is there in the first place, but that's kind of a whole nother episode. Why should people from another country have to come over and stabilize your part of the world? But
well, like, NATO protects a billion people.
Yep. Because,
you know,
it's
the joint protection, so that's not a bad thing. But I mean, like,
it'd be nice if they didn't need to exist.
Again, that's, I mean, we can talk about that forever, because
yeah.
that's, you know.
Well, that's a bit of a bigger picture. We're looking at a little bit of the smaller picture
yeah.
right now. We're actually sitting down to you in regards to the Cannabis for Canadian Veterans fundraiser to talk about the impact of, well, how cannabis works for some veterans. We've heard a lot about PTSD. We've heard a lot about, in the news, of clinical trials being started. We're seeing, obviously, I mean, ask anybody who smokes weed. They'll tell you weed helps with stress in the first place, let alone after effect.
Yeah.
But the kind folks at Smiling Buddha, Thompson Caribou, Potent Industries, round up a great number of folks to have the event at the Green Ceiling. Fantastic fundraiser. really, really proud to be a part of that. And the point of that event is to raise funds and awareness, particularly of how not only some veterans are finding success with cannabis in helping their recovery. And as well as the awareness in general about how it might work, and just trying to change some of the stigmas. I mean, I don't think the military previously has had the best track record in probably how they tolerate, say, having a joint. But now here we are all these years later, and we're getting to the point where we've actually got clinical trials going on, how it could see. For me, I mean, my biggest sort of questions is not necessarily about your specific journey, it's the journey in general. When you're injured in the military, how it's kind of, the general process works. And then as you're sort of kind of transition out of their care, I mean, not to pigeonhole or lay blame necessarily how it, but just so we understand the baseline, an injury sustained in the line of duty or in time of service, I mean, the military has to take care of theirs, but how? I mean, what's the general process?
Well, it depends on what you want to do. Sure. All right, and it depends on your injury. Everybody's different, and they process it differently. So my injury came actually not from, well, being in tour and seeing a lot of, it sucks. Mm-hmm. It sucks. It's not home. It's not comfortable. It's the exact opposite of that. Yep. You're kept on your adrenaline high, and for the most part, you're bored. So if you're not doing anything and nothing's happening, you're at a constant state of alertness, but you're bored. So boredom just brings anger.
Yeah.
And you're just, you know, it's hard to come down for that. But for my injuries, like, I hurt my back really, really bad, broke it, and how the military treats its soldiers is, you know, you're a tool. You're a well-oiled machine, but when that tool doesn't work, well, what do you do in society? You throw that tool away. Military's no different. They give you time to heal, and they'll try to figure things out, but the way it is very basic. People definitely fall through the cracks a lot. Very, very easily. Not just a bit, just very easily. And there's so many people that I know, sure. So many veterans.
Yeah, I mean, you hear statistics like, I might be quoting the wrong number, but something to the effect of like 22 veterans a day committing suicide.
No, those are the old Vietnam statistics.
Okay.
It's more around 50 in North America, combining.
Oh, great, even worse.
Yeah,
perfect.
Straight up.
Fantastic. That's
well, there was an article in the United States paper about the VA morgue. I don't know if you saw that, and it was just a morgue full, and it was the Veterans Affairs, and it's just dead soldiers because they're all homeless and they had nowhere to go, but they have literally nowhere to put these bodies anymore. And it's like, and I'm in Canada, and I'm like, I feel for you because we served with these people.
Yep.
You know, and they're our brothers, and it's a small little border, but they're getting
hosed. And that could so easily be you.
Well, even our own government repealed the pensions, you know, paying out. If you get hurt in service now, you get a one-time buyout. Here's your money, which is nowhere near what these guys are going to need in the long term.
For their medical.
The guys who are getting paid a monthly are still only getting pennies on the dollar what their suffering is worth. Which is really a shame, you know. So
the typical model is, you know, limited care and prescription drugs?
Yeah, I pretty much equate it to an analogy of like you got a really, really cool bus ride. It's really bumpy. It's super fun. You're in the back. But when it's time to get off, they don't slow down. It's coming to your house and they give you a kick. You're out the door. You don't get to see the D-rings. You don't see if you're tied up. And you're just like, cool. You kind of brush yourself off and it's like they didn't even stop. They didn't slow down. It just, that's a machine and it's gone. So there's no easy letdown. There's no like, hey, man, you're going to go back to a different culture now.
Yeah.
And you have to change your mindset to be a different way. So when you come back to the culture of a civilian, and I call it culture because it's a totally different culture, you have to do certain exercises, but they don't give you these tools. You know, if you're in the combat arms, you're taught to hammer things. Everything you do is hammer, hammer. You treat everything with a sledgehammer.
They teach you how to piss the way they want you to do it.
No, they need to do that because in that environment, you need to be that way.
Yep.
But when you come back, that's all on you.
And there should be as equal training to come back to reintegrate, because I mean,
there
what you've
missed. There is rehabilitation. Like, I went to school. They put me through art school, but they didn't put me through being a person school.
Yes.
You
which
know,
is kind of important.
Very important,
because if you can't be a person, then you can't do anything else.
Well, if I'm maintained, especially in the infantry, always training at a high state of anger, where I can go from zero to anger in like just a very, very short amount of time, but it's a functional anger because I've taught to work through that anger and be treated that when I work through this anger, I'm going to be rewarded. I'm going to be rewarded with life. My friends are going to live. So that's basically, in a nutshell, what it breaks down to. And then you get back to the civilian world, civilian culture, and it's like, okay, well, I can't treat every situation with hammers. I can't be angry with my wife because she's burning the bacon and it's reminding me of something I don't want to remember.
Right, and you know, to be used to living at a high level. I mean, I have some anxiety issues myself, and my issue comes down to, for me, I mean, cannabis helps me keep to the point where I'm at a normal state, because I function, my brain just runs nonstop. And it's not necessarily a bad thing, but at times if I let it go, it can be hard to reel it back in.
Yeah.
And when you're that wound up...
Storyteller in your head.
Right? I mean, I got a million plans for a million plans, and then I got answers to every one of those, and then each one of those have like an answer to that, because just in case it goes that way. I get it. When you're at a super high level all the time, and you're expected to be that alert to not function like that, if you were bored before, not only... Now you're going to be even more bored. And the different way to do that, and you can't be on a razor's edge all the time when you're standing in line at the prescription to get your prescription filled, or you're waiting for the groceries, and it's taken.
It's the family, like for me, it's the family life that's suffered for the last 15 years. My parents, I can't, you know, everybody walks on eggshells because they're like, you know, I could sneeze wrong and it's gonna trigger a little bit of a episode that I'm remembering shit, but I didn't know how to deal with it before. So, I mean, like, I didn't touch weed until 2002. I didn't really smoke in high school because my girlfriend wouldn't have sex with me if I did, so I didn't touch it. My wife now, she taught me how to roll my first joint properly.
Atta girl. I love her style.
Yeah.
Hopefully it was well put together.
Oh yeah, straight up. She did. She knew how to, you know, she was a good one, but first joint I smoked with her, I didn't have night terrors that night. I got a good solid 5 hours sleep, and I was like, where I was usually sleeping 2 to 3 hours intermittently, and it's just getting up, it's like I hear a noise, and, you know, gun out, clear the house, go back to bed. I got a good solid 5 hours sleep, and I was like, where I was usually sleeping 2 to 3 hours intermittently, and it's just getting up, it's like I hear a noise, and, you know, gun out, clear the house, go back to bed. We live at the edge of the city. I live in Calgary, and we're at the very edge. We're at the holding pattern for YYC, so you just hear the planes banking, and it's like, oh yeah, I know that sound. It's just a plane. Passenger plane.
It's a passenger plane.
It's good. It's good. We're good. We're good.
And
it's like, I hate
this. But for that split second, man.
Yeah, I'm just sitting here. I'm like, I hate this city. I'm like, I love the city. It's beautiful. I love the people. I just, it's very, very hard to live in when it's so many. It's so packed, you know?
But then, I mean, because it, I mean, really, I mean, a smell can trigger anything. A sound can trigger
anything.
An action can anything. And you could be out in the woods and be completely silent, living with just peaceful harmony everywhere, and still, theoretically, be triggered by looking at a tree the wrong way, that
and
a leaf falls somehow.
And that's the maddening thing. So that's the problem a lot of my friends and a lot of vets are going through, because they think that it's PTSD, it's a disorder, they're going crazy in the brain, and it's like, it's an injury, guys. The reason you're hypervigilant about that is because, you know, you're just... You don't understand, your brain has been rewired, it's got scarring.
So yeah, I want you to explain that to me, because I've heard a few different terms thrown around here that to me all sound similar, or could be the slightly interchangeable, or really made or maybe better definitions of it even. The post-traumatic stress disorder, post-traumatic stress injury, and OSI, which
pretty
is...
Pretty much all under the same blanket. OSI is operational stress injury.
Right.
It's what they're grouping a lot of the thing, a lot of the veterans coming out back from Afghanistan with, and you know, rightfully so. Yeah. And under that is PTSD, PTSI. But
and so the difference between the D and the I would then be?
It's new terminology coming out by a lot of our leading scientists in that, because they're measuring the PTSI. Because it is an injury on the actual brain. So on MRIs, the new MRIs coming out, you can actually measure the scarring, so it's quantifiable. It's not a disorder, it's not in your fucking head. But with the OSI, I mean, like, your thoughts are amplified. Yeah. So if you're thinking dark thoughts, you're going to think them a lot lower than the normal person.
Well, you were saying to me at one point when we were talking before, if you're, you know, the gunners shooting off the big cannons and shit like that,
just the concussion
that comes off of that, the tissue that it can cause damage.
Well,
in the brain,
look at football players, like that big, you know, the movie about concussions and stuff, yeah, you know, yeah. And it's like, you know, these guys like butt heads. You know, playing football. All right, now you got a guy in artillery who's got 105 howitzer, and he's firing 10 rounds every couple minutes, you know? And you're doing a 20-year, you know, stretch in the military. That's going to do something to you in the end. And if it doesn't, it's going to affect a lot of people, and they don't even know it.
Well, and that's what that goes to show, the evolution of it, which is, I guess, why you say the evolution of the diagnosis, if you will, and the terminology. Because, yeah, operational stress is different than traumatic stress in theory, just like, you know, we've got various different classifications of all kinds of injuries, and to me, I see it as a disorder is something that, like you mentioned, you can't really treat a disorder, but you can treat an injury.
Yeah, you can find the ways to treat an injury. I was just at a camp for veterans and spouses, because when things get bad with the PTSD, there's a lot of anger, there's a lot of rage. You put that on your spouse, you know, and it radiates. And I was sick of seeing my family upset. And nobody talks about PTSD, nobody talks about PTSI. Because they're, for the most part, ashamed.
Yeah.
Like, to have an open talk like this, it took 3 days with heavy counselors in the room. And I can talk about this because I'm not ashamed, because, well, for one, I mean, like, if I can help two of my buddies.
That helps you in a bit anyway, right?
It eases my conscience, because, sure. You know, if your friends die, I'm sorry. It fucking sucks. It rips your heart out.
Yep.
But to not do something with yourself after that seems like a crime.
So and your friend wouldn't want you to spend the rest of your life mourning them. They want you to go on and live your life and enjoy, right?
Oh, no. So, like, I have friends who are probably just laughing at this situation right now. Like, dude, you're talking about weed.
Yeah, we are.
Like, can you imagine, like, you thought you'd be, like, a sergeant major or something crazy, and it's like, no, now I'm sitting here, I'm a tattoo artist now.
Yes.
I am the exact opposite of what I was, because I saw when I had my first joint with my wife, it was like, all right, this is why it's illegal.
Yeah, it feels too good, because I can open my eyes.
It's good. I actually, you know, had a thought, and it's like I went into work, and it's like, yeah, you know, you could be off deployment for 6 months. You can heal, and we'll get you back in. I didn't know I had a broken back at the time. They're like, yeah, you'll probably be good.
So you were injured. You spent 3 weeks sort of inactive duty, and then finally were diagnosed with a broken back.
Well, they didn't know. They just thought, like, because my legs went numb and my body went numb because I was in shock after my accident,
right,
and seeing a lot of bad stuff, it was just kind of like, well, we're going to take you out a tour just because, you know, you seem like a liability issue. It's like, well, I'm not a liability issue. I'm really kind of sad, and I hit my head. My back is totally messed. I have no idea what's up with that, but you're war theater, there's no MRIs, there's no x-rays, you know, there's no hospitals.
There's no really safe zones anyway.
Well, I mean, the hospitals are, like, you know, pretty much basic, so they monitor you, make sure, you know, you're pretty much good to go. But I stood there for a couple weeks, and it's like, no, something's definitely wrong, you know. If I can't hump a rucksack and I can't use my rifle and there's something wrong and my mobility is totally fucked, then I'm no good.
And then your liability to those around you, and then the military doesn't necessarily want you around.
Yeah, you're a useless tool. So you get shipped home, and you get shipped home, and it's like, for me, it was like, I get home and it's like, what are you doing here?
Right.
It's like, so, why aren't you supposed to be on tour? I'm like, didn't they tell you I came home? I'm like, I broke my back. I was in this train accident and this crazy shit. They're like, nah. Well, we're going out to the field. You want to come? It's like,
I have a broken back. What did you not understand?
But I didn't know I had a broken back at that point. All I knew was fucking funky. So then going out, one day in the barracks, a couple days after being home, I was trying to clean my room. I bent over, couldn't get up, hospital. Spent a couple weeks in the hospital, got an x-ray there, and they're like, all right, you have, all my discs have been flattened. I had a crack in my vertebrae.
Wow, so you're going around that, and then, so what's next, a bunch of drugs?
Basically, that was an avalanche of drugs. That was a snowball effect. So the first drug I was on, I couldn't even remember. It was an antidepressant. Because I had just come back and I was, you know, I wasn't told how to grieve.
Well, and also you were in shock.
No. Nobody did any trauma follow-ups. It wasn't like, hey, you did this, seen this crazy stuff go down. It wasn't because of the tour I was on, it was because of the accident. But I mean, like, still, like, most guys go their whole tour and never see shit like that.
Yeah.
Right?
My grandpa was in World War II and he was a mechanic, and the closest thing he saw to a German was maybe you could march by him, like, 100 meters away, you know, like, never saw any action of any sorts of anything.
Well, and that's the thing. Like I said, most of it is boredom if there's nothing going on. Like, Afghanistan's a different story. I'm not going to comment on that because I never did a tour there. So I'm not going to comment on my friends, but I've heard their stories, and it was shit.
But you even hear about, okay, so you're in the safe zone. You're not in the combat zone, right? Mm-hmm. You're still in an unsafe environment, and we hear about bases getting attacked and stuff like that. You can be chilling on your day off from an active, you know,
tours. No, it's 24/7, bro.
You're always ready. You got to be. I mean, that takes a toll on you as a person. Period.
It changes your psyche. It changes even your chemical makeup in your brain. You operate it, like I said, it's a different culture. You're a different level of human being at that point.
It's, I equate it similarly, if you will, to institutionalization for long-term prison inmates. I mean, not the same overall ending result, but the way you changes your conditioning, your whole psyche, your mentality, and then when you come out of that situation, you're like, well, how do I deal with this now? Because I've been
conditioned but there's no direction in there. Like you're just put in a cage and you're just left alone with your thoughts. Like with the military, they're trying to make you see black and white, so you respond to black and white commands, and you can do black and white things in that black and white environment. Civilians, you see in all the spectrums of color. It's definitely, it's a lot more colorful. The best thing about being a veteran is when you start coming out of the fog of PTSD and knowing it's an injury and start treating it, and you use things like, I use my cannabis, you start coming out of this fog of like destruction in your life, and you start seeing everything in HD because you got the black and white and all the color.
And so you go from there, black and white, well, take these pills that probably don't really work.
The pills, there's just flat gray. It's flat gray, it's purgatory. Yeah. There's flat gray, there's no life, it's like being in a fucking snowstorm and, you know, you can't tell what's up, you can't tell what's down. You know, it sucks. You don't know if you move forward, if you're gonna step off an edge somewhere, so you just, as a veteran, I kind of like, you just get into solitude. You get into a safe spot and you just clamber down.
Right.
You hunker down because most of the time you're medicated. Like at one point I was on, Tramacet, Percocet, Demerol, Ativan, Cialis, because I couldn't get my dick hard fucking up because I was on those four things just for my back.
Right. So there's six already so far.
Oxycontin. Like three different antidepressants, but I can't pronounce them.
Of course not.
So I have
a 10 different things, at least, 10 different pills.
So at any given time, I was on three or four at any given time.
Jesus.
But for an extension of 14 years. From 2003 to 2014, right after 9/11 is when they really start pushing the drugs. So it would have been in 2001 when I started medicating.
Okay.
And it was up to two years ago when I stopped, and I only use cannabis.
So essentially for a dozen years, you took...
It was a fog.
A handful of pills a day.
I'm just starting to get the memories back from that.
And thanks to your wife who rolled you the joint, smoked you the joint, now how many pills do you take?
I take zero. I won't even take an Advil. I won't take anything.
And do you feel better or worse, or do you think you've just gotten used to what you have?
In the last
situation?
2 years, 4 years ago, some days when my back would go out, I would be bedridden. I'd be on the couch and I couldn't move for the whole day. Mm. You know, and that was because of the pills, and it sucked. Mm. So as I started weaning myself off and just getting the right strains, yeah, from the right suppliers, and Veterans Affairs actually covering the cost, which really, really helped me out and actually got me off, you know, the dependency of that.
Yeah, which is kind of interesting because 10 years ago, or 15 years ago, 20 years ago, whatever you want to look back to, let's go back to 2000, you're chilling, you're hanging out, you're in your fatigues, we're sitting down smoking a joint, and MP comes in, you're fucked.
Oh, yeah.
You're fucked.
Oh yeah, you're going to jail, you know, at least 30 days. You know, that's going to suck.
Look at it more
or
times.
Or you're going to get rehabilitation, and they're going to tell you the evils of it because they want you seeing black and white. Mm-hmm. This is one of those
things that will open your mind a little too much for them.
It's an anti-gateway drug. And, you know,
they don't like that.
You know, it's like anti-gateway, yeah, because it got me off pills. Because, you know, I know I'm not going to die if I take too much of that. The worst thing is I might fucking pass out and then I'm going to wake up and I'm going to feel great. And
so for a green out, the worst thing that's ever going to happen to you is you...
I've only greened out once.
The worst thing, you'll throw up. You'll feel a little dizzy, maybe a little nauseous, maybe a little sweaty. You'll be like a little like, oh my God, I'm a little anxious, panicky. When is this going to go away? And then within about 45 minutes to 2 hours,
I'm feeling this.
So mm-hmm. That's all that is. A green out is just your body going, whoa, I'm not used to that yet. And once you get used to it and you know what strains and what times and what doses, and now with the beautiful evolution of the tinctures and shatters and all the extracts and the pills, you can really dial in specifically to kind of almost treat almost anything you need, but treat it very, very specifically, very, very effectively, and without so many of these false pharmaceuticals.
Well, you can do it like I... like it the old school way. I love rolling my joints. I love having my big doobies. I have my coffee in the morning with my wife and chill, right? Yeah. Just roll a really nice joint with the wife and chill in the morning. That's my ritual, right? But I never thought for years you could do this.
Yeah, the difference of now you and your wife being able to sit around and enjoy. I mean, and honestly, what's often overlooked is the social aspect of this wonderful product.
Oh, yeah. To
when you're high as fuck or you're all tripping because you're medicated or you're second guessing yourself because of, am I crazy? Mm. Am I injured? Is it the drugs? I'm so out of sorts with myself. How do I handle this? How do I continue? Whereas cannabis puts you in such a social environment where you want to talk, you want to communicate, you want to get involved, and going from I can't be around you, I don't know how to talk to you, here's your tool and your ability to reconnect with people again.
Exactly,
right?
And I mean, like for right now, it would be a smaller social circle to help build you up too, right, with like-minded individuals. A lot of veterans need that. I mean, like, it would help them open up. Because a lot of them would have barriers about talking. Like, I don't want to talk about horror stories. It's bad.
Yeah,
you know,
no,
I don't talk to my wife. I don't talk to my kids about it. But they know it affects me. They know what kind of morning I have. Yeah. You know, but as soon as, you know, she rolls me one of these, it's like, cool. Smoke that. Chill out for a minute. Come back at me. And it's like, cool. You know, I wake up in the morning. I get a heavy cortisol purge. So I get really anxious. And, you know, I'm very kind of sick in the morning, very nauseated. But there's a point where I couldn't even go to a grocery store because, you know, just even the anxiety of being around people, right?
Right.
But now, you know, now that I'm off all these pills and I'm not having all these self-doubts with me and I've got this, and the people that I'm connecting with are very encouraging, and it's like, oh, they got my back. I realize that there is help for veterans, there is help for people, they do care. Yep. It's just been taught into us that we're strong, we don't need help.
Individuals themselves, the guys like you who are on the ground putting themselves in harm's way in a situation where 99% of the rest of the world wouldn't have anything to do with that. No, most people wouldn't do that. And I think if you get to the point where because of that, you sustain a physical injury or have some mental health issues because of that, I think that you should be fully supported completely 100% and given every option on the table. And it's nice to know that at least in some ways we're starting to see the evolution. Your Veterans Affairs is actually paying for your prescribed purchase through licensed producer Health Canada, like it or love it, the ever controversial LP weed, but they are covering your prescription, whether good or bad, whether you should just be able to grow it yourself and save money for the program, but they are at least doing that. Yeah.
It does help. Oh, no, it helps immensely. I'm not going to, you know, I'm.
But
really,
the cost
really
of covering pharmaceuticals versus covering cannabis prescription is still a cost, but we've seen a lot of studies come out there that it's becoming less expensive for them to cover cannabis than it is to cover the pharmaceuticals.
Yes, but you figure in, like, if a soldier takes his life, and
what's it worth?
I don't know. What's it worth to you? What's it worth to that family? You know, and
there's
you
no
know,
dollar value that can
yeah,
go with
exactly.
It.
So, but they'll pay that out, and you know, you factor in that and the numbers of, you know, what happens, especially in the States, and you know, it's pretty shitty.
I think like you hit it on the nail on the head before. It's such a personal journey, and cannabis is a very, very personal plant with 12,000 different uses. It's going to work a little different for everybody. With hundreds of different cannabinoids to it, everyone is going to affect everyone just a little bit differently.
Like I said, there's 8 billion brains on the planet Earth. Mm-hmm. You know, this thing's going to react 8 billion different ways. Right. But we're all adults here. Mm-hmm. So if I don't want to medicate with all these pills that are making me suicidal, then sorry, I'm going to be the adult and say, no, that's not for me. Yep. You know, you can't tell me what to do with my own body. Mm-hmm. This works for me. It's shown. I've been using cannabis since 2003.
Yep.
So, you know, every day for the last 2 years since I've gotten my LP and covered, it's been properly medicated because I knew exactly what I was getting. I knew exactly how I felt. I don't get high.
Right.
I get relieved.
Comfortable.
And I'm comfortable. Yeah. Exactly. I can still operate. I can still be an artist.
Yeah,
I'm not gonna be in the army at this state. Fuck no.
Well, and also with your injury, I mean, we see your rather cool cane kicking over there. I mean, physically, you're not able to go pack a rucksack, huck up and down a mountain, and go shoot people anymore. But
some days are better than others, you know, and I like to be as active as possible, you know. So when I have my good days, I like to climb mountains. In the last 2 years, I climbed 12 mountains. You know, I have my walking sticks and shit, but I mean, like, you still get it done. I mean, like, if people that I know who are, you know, worse off but are running Ironmans, you know, and they only have one leg.
Right. Could always be a little worse, man. It could always be a little worse.
You know, like, you know, everybody's got their journey and their story, but the more I keep active, then the better I feel.
Well, and I think we've seen some of the healing elements, you know, when you see in the CBDs or the big talk about everybody, make you better, and all these different cannabinoids that we're starting to learn more and more about as we get more testing done, we're finding the healing effects of the herbs. I see that can honestly physically be helping with the possibility of a recovery of your injuries, as well as the repair of brain tissue. We've seen stories and we've seen tests come out in news articles of recent of all these different effects that cannabis is having to the individuals who consume it, and especially in all these new different ways where you don't have to necessarily get high. I mean, to me, I feel that once you smoke enough weed or you consume it, you get to a point where I don't really get high anymore.
No,
I get to a zone where
relief.
I'm comfortable and the relief from...
You're content. Yep. It should be a contentment, you know? Like, I'm going into my 40s. I can't do those big dabs I watch on Instagram or anything. And it's just like, you just did like a $100 dab. And now you're going to pass out. And I hope that was worth it. But I mean, like, yeah, it looked cool for that 20-second video. I'm like, right on. I'm like, I'm not bashing you guys, but like, yeah, good on ya.
Yeah, responsible consumption. I mean, that's the thing. I mean, when you get to the point where you're going through what you're going through.
Especially for vets, I think because of stuff, no, I'm not bashing that. But I mean, like, without a polished image where they can trust into it.
Yep.
You know, it doesn't seem like it's so fringe for them and that there's not enough information going out to them.
Yeah, it's difficult getting over that hurdle from people's conceptions of recreational versus 90 years of brainwashing.
Yeah, right.
90 years of brainwashing, but the conception of recreational versus medical. Now, to me, I mean, I know the difference. It's all the same. I mean, that's the same weed for any way you want to use it. It's how you look at it. And I mean, I call it recreational if you want, because it keeps me calm and it's cool and I enjoy it. But it keeps me calm and I'm cool and enjoy it, so I don't lose my shit and I need to go into a zone where I need it medically to calm the fuck back down.
Right.
So preventative. I mean,
it's
whether you know what it's doing, what it needs to do, and it's going to help you. And we appreciate that it's done. We appreciate you coming to share your story. And it's really cool that. Slowly but surely, we're starting to see a bit more information get out there. We're starting to see some of the awareness, some of the tests being done. And I think it's really important for organizations like Smiling Buddha, Thompson Caribou Concentrates, Potent Industries, everybody, the Green Ceiling and the Cannamal, Skunk and Panda Extracts, everybody who put together to have this big Cannabis for Veterans fundraiser here for our Canadian military veterans should be commended. It is high time that you guys be exactly that, given the freedom of choice to choose how you want to, just like anybody, but especially by the government who put you in the situation in the first place, to give you the option to how you want to manage your own health and be frank and honest with, look, we're not a bunch of kids running around doing dabs, eating Doritos, hanging out in the basement. I'm a functional grown adult here. This is what works for me, and to help me have access to it is very important. And I think that your story and a lot of stories of similar veterans, we've seen the Marijuana for Trauma guys who are opening their organization, selling similar situations about how cannabis seems to be benefiting a lot of veterans, helping with not only their you know, mental health issues brought on by the physical health as well too.
Yeah, right? When you can talk, like I said, a lot of people can't talk about it. Yeah. You know, it affects their brain in different ways, but it is trauma. So this just, you know, talking to one person, having a joint, just breaking down those walls, help heal those little wounds and create new pathways to being like, I don't have to be angry, I can be chill. You know, there are a lot of really good programs out there. There's the OSI program where you can get in through Veterans Affairs and you get a caseworker and they start working with you. Canada is really up in their game with that. We're not like the States, you know, but unfortunately there's a lot of injured veterans. So there are, you know, wait times and you do have to, you know, definitely be persistent or you can fall through the cracks. Mm-hmm. But if you are persistent, then, you know, you can get the care you usually need, you know. So Veterans Affairs is really, really good for that. I can't knock them. They, you know, very, very awesome. But you have to have the right paperwork. You got to do your due diligence.
I mean, you've tried all your sources and this is what you've come to.
Exactly. Yeah, exactly. I mean, like, I had to jump through a lot of hoops. I had to do all the paperwork. And it's like, but in the end, it's like, yeah, well, I mean, like, it's legit. I'm like, I'm here because probably not going to work a normal job after this.
No, and you, another thing, I mean, like you touched on, as an artist, to create, you're a world-class tattoo artist with a massive following and are booked out years in advance, if you will, months in advance at least. And cannabis, that obviously has had to have had some impact in the way that works for you, and you're...
Well, that's integrating back. Yeah, exactly. Integrating into an artist society where weed was very prevalent. Mm-hmm. And it's like, all right, everybody smoke weed. That's cool because I'm just dabbling into it. I'm starting to learn about it. And it's really helping me. And it's like, hey, did you know it does this? Does it know it did this? I'm like, no, I didn't know it did all these crazy things. It's kind of like, you know, wow, this is a really amazing little thing. So being with artists, that's really cool because it slowed down my thought process of being angry, where I could slow down and actually sit down and put pen to paper and draw up some cool ideas. And then it worked into becoming a tattooer and, you know, calms me right down. I just do my work, you know, 5-6 hours of concentration every day, and I'd get my tattoos done, and it's like, oh, cool work, sweet, you know. But you know, going from such a high strung to a low, you know, type of career is what I really needed to do. Tattooing definitely saved me in that aspect because, you know, I don't know what to do with that unchecked aggression. But when I just sit down and keep your hands moving, you know, and then all my clients who are usually into the, you know, smoking a good joint. So, I mean, like, it's really, really kind of like, all right, every day I get a one-on-one with somebody. Right. And it's, you know, the opposite of destruction. It's creating, and I'm making that one person happy every day. You know, I'm making something that they're going to be stoked with forever. I'm stoked with the design, you know, but at the end of the day, they're leaving stoked. They're going to stare at that tattoo for fucking ever in the mirror and just be super, you know, just amped on it, you know?
I mean, it's very cool to see that, that's, I mean, another way. Obviously, it's to me, I mean, we call it like a whole plant effect, the entourage effect. You kind of need a bit of everything. And you can't just say, well, I'm going to go smoke weed and that's going to make me better as well, too. Obviously, the physical health, the your diet, your lifestyle, the support of those around you, it gets you to the point where you are. And, I mean, I look at it as you and your brothers went out there and put yourself through some crazy shit together, and the only way you guys are going to get through it is together.
Yep. I mean, like, my back's never going to get better, and I mean, like, but for the symptoms of PTSD, PTSI, things like that, we've tapped into a really good network. It's called Can Praxis. It's
give them the plug. How do you find it? Where do you find it?
You can go on the Wounded Warriors website, .ca, and it's using horses and to help you almost unbrainwash yourself from being an anger trigger to calming down, having normal conversations, even being able to talk like this. I couldn't even have this conversation with you probably three months ago because I was so high strung.
Really?
Just using a 1,200-pound horse who's hypersensitive, you know, they bring you with your family and you can actually have a conversation with your wife. And in turn, when you start having conversations with the people who are closer to you, especially as a veteran, because they're the ones taking care of you, then you can have conversations with yourself, the person who's behind the camera, and not feel weird, where as before it would be just a very one-sided conversation. It'd be a lot of, yep, uh-huh, cool, and me thinking like I have no idea what to say. But breaking down those walls and using this horse, you know, and using their programs and techniques, and I've only done the phase one out of the three-part phase, it's a pretty amazing place. But my wife loves it because in the week, you know, a couple weeks after we've done it, she's already seen 100%, you know, reversal in, you know, my attitude. I'm not angry at the house anymore. The things that should set me off that she knows is going to be like a nuke in her house is gone, and she's weirded out by it because I've learned that if it's an injury, then there's no excuse that if you have PTSD or PTSI, OSI, it's no excuse for piss poor behavior and acting out.
Right? Right? My mom always used to say to me when I was a kid, I'd come home and be all upset about her. She said, don't come home and take your shit out on me.
Yeah, like, exactly. But, I mean, like, if you know it's an injury, then you know it's not crazy in the brain, so I don't have to be lashing out and I don't have to be this way. Now I need to change my thought pattern because it doesn't work in this environment. So I think about it like a mission. I need to adapt to where I'm living. So
Einstein's definition of insanity, doing the same thing over and over and expecting a different result.
Right.
If you know that, hang on, this is what's wrong. This is either how I can fix it or at least how I can manage it or be aware of what's happening so that I can control it to the best of my ability. It's like you say, yeah, treat it like a mission. You just, okay, situational awareness, figure out what's going on and create a plan and go at it. And it sounds like you got a great plan, man, because you've been cool as a fan, man.
No, I've been trying to. I mean, like, I'm not always this way. I mean, like, there are certain things that I'm still kind of, you know, when you have the right tools, instead of just having sledgehammers to solve all your problems, you know, you start using those tools. And I was trying to tell my 18-year-old daughter, who suffers from the same thing because she's lived with this, you know, and, you know, it affects her as well. It's like, you know, before I just had this one road to use in my brain, and that road was always anger, fear, aggression, because in the infantry you're taught speed, aggression, violence, speed, aggression, violence, speed, aggression, violence, speed, aggression, violence.
You know, you've obviously been working long and hard to get where you have been, but if I didn't know, I wouldn't know.
Well, you know, I tell my friends, like even the guys with Thompson, it's like I wasn't always this way. A lot of people know me a different way.
Yep.
You know, lots more stressed out. Mm-hmm. And, you know, for that, I'm making up for the slow train wreck that was that pill life. You know, it's like you come out of the fog, you kind of look behind you, and you're like, ooh, yeah. So when I actually heal, then I got to heal, you know, that 15 years, because it's a really shitty thing. I don't want to leave, you know, that type of thing, you know, unattended to. But
you've heard reefer madness. Mm. It's reefer or madness.
Yeah.
And the pills and all that prescription shit and that jumping through all that, that's the madness, man.
Oh, it's straight up. It's maddening. Especially when you don't know what's going on, you just get more and more confused and frustrated, and it's maddening,
right? And then when you get questioning yourself, that gets even worse. And then am I crazy? Am I injured? What is doing this? Is this me? Is this the pills? Is this the injury? Is this a situation? How do I? And
that spectrum is so
circle starts
you to know up and down, and the I'm feeling great, 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 shitty. What is my worth?
Yeah. Well,
and that is the worst place to be as a human being, even contemplate that. So knowing that you're not crazy and it is an injury, it's you know, quantifiable on an MRI. It shows up on a brain scan. So I mean, like, you know, you can fix that. You can know that these are the effects of that injury, and
so you manage it and so you treat it.
It's not so much demonized. Mm-hmm. It's an injury. It's not, all right, well, we can't help you. We're just going to medicate you, put you in the corner.
Right. Well, we're glad you saw the light. You came out of the fog. You're coming out. You're getting it back
together. I'm feeling great. Man. Yeah.
I was going to say, because you've been looking good, feeling good, sounding good.
You got to get up and do things, you know. I can't stay at home. You know, so I get up, I walk, I got my little service dog, you know, I keep him close. Yep. He's super awesome. But I mean, like, I have to stay busy in some way. I have to keep this busy.
Moving
and forward. I have to keep it, well, I have to keep feeding it tools so I can learn new skills. Yep. Because that's the worst thing, is just, if you get lost in the past, it'll just eat you up, and it's horrible. And everybody's past is different, so I can't tell somebody whose past is, you know, well, that's a crazy story to me, but I don't know how it affects you. You might not be affected at all. Mm. But other people, it's just devastating. It's debilitating.
Right.
So if they can find something like this in their life that can just mitigate that pain and just say, hey, it's not that bad, it's the past, I survived it. Mm-hmm. You know, if I can just get a little bit of ray of light every day, and that helps. Yeah, I'm an adult. I'm going to do that. Thank you. You know.
I'm glad it helped you, man. It's helped me. I think weed has saved my life. I've talked about it a few times on my show. And I'm glad you came to talk with us about here, man. For more information, man, make sure you check out Damian Robertson on Instagram, as well as get you some information on post-traumatic stress injuries, OSI, PTSD. Also, thank you very much to Smiling Buddha Inc., Thompson Caribou, Potent Industries, Green Ceiling, everybody associated with the Cannabis for Veterans fundraiser. Also, Cannabis Life Network for having us here and having me. We learn a lot. Make sure you go out and help support the cause, donate, create awareness. If you are a veteran who suffers from any post-traumatic stresses, injuries, shit's got you down, man, consider cannabis. It could help. Also, talk to your friends. Get some more information. Hell, reach out to Damien. He'll hook you up. Get a hold of me, Craig Axe at Expert Joints across the board. Thanks very much for being here at the Canna Life Network Studios. We appreciate Cannabis Life Network for having me here. Check them out more, CannabisLifeNetwork.com. And, of course, we'll see you again soon. Thank you very much.